On Christmas Eve, 1944, a dusty field on Guadalcanal became the unlikely stage for one of history's most poignant sporting events. 65 Marines, many former college football stars, faced off in what they called the Mosquito Bowl. These young men wore makeshift uniforms on a field of dirt and coral, momentarily escaping the reality that they awaited deployment to what would become one of World War II's bloodiest battles. The game represented a final grasp at normalcy before confronting the horrors of Okinawa. Within 6 months, 15 participants would be dead and 20 others wounded, a staggering 54% casualty rate. This forgotten chapter represents the largest collection of athletes ever to die in a single battle, a testament to how the greatest generation's sacrifice extended from small-town heroes to all Americans. Imagine these young men, still carrying the muscle memory of stadiums and cheering crowds, now preparing to charge into gunfire rather than end zones. The Mosquito Bowl wasn't just a game. It was the last moment when these warriors could still be boys. John McLaughlery was Brown University's class president, football captain, and heavyweight boxing champion. David Schreiner became a celebrated All-American end at Wisconsin despite academic challenges. Tony Butkovich, from a Croatian immigrant family, excelled in Illinois high school sports before starring at Illinois and Purdue through the Navy's V-12 program. These campus heroes, along with many others, traded athletic glory for Marine Corps service. The military valued football's role. Navy Secretary William Knox believed the sport's physicality prepared men for Pacific combat. Through strategic policies, the Navy sustained college football while securing both players and competition. The same competitive drive that fueled their athletic achievements perhaps compelled these young men, at their prime, to join their generation's crucial fight. By late 1944, these former football stars were on Guadalcanal with the newly formed 6th Marine Division, awaiting the Battle of Okinawa. Veterans lived by the rule of three. Surviving two campaigns meant the third would likely kill you. Boredom was their constant companion. The untested newcomers arrived with youthful swagger, ignorant of war's horrors that the veterans knew too well. Bodies torn by mortars, burning flesh, trucks of corpses. Many developed the thousand-yard stare, blank eyes reflecting deep trauma. Rumors circulated of an upcoming battle with predicted casualty rates of 80% for the beach landing alone. During this tense wait, the Mosquito Bowl emerged. The 29th Regiment's challenge to the 4th resulted in a surprising 0-0 tie. The Christmas Eve rematch became a major event, with the Mosquito Network planning live broadcasts across Pacific bases, complete with programs, bands, and ceremonies. These Marines had created a slice of home in hell's waiting room. The Christmas Eve game drew 1,500 spectators, with officers wagering $3,000 and enlisted men betting a month's pay. What started as touch football escalated into fierce tackling, leaving players bloodied from coral cuts and requiring stitches. The underdog 4th Regiment's massive front line averaged 6'1 and 220 pounds. McLaury rotated three teams to handle Guadalcanal's oppressive climate, while the 29th Regiment countered with deep college-level talent throughout their roster. The game ended in a symbolic 0-0 tie. That evening's Christmas service featured an image of a kneeling Marine before Mary and Jesus, followed by a feast the next day. New Year's Eve marked the final holiday for 1,622 members of the 6th Division who would perish in the coming months. On April 1st, these men would lead the Pacific War's largest amphibious assault on Okinawa. The game's poignancy lies not just in who played, but in these men's fierce embrace of life while facing almost certain death. The Okinawa landing began deceptively easy, with Marines encountering no resistance and even holding Easter picnics on the beach. By mid-April, reality struck. Japanese forces under Takehito Udo had established sophisticated defensive positions with concealed artillery and excellent communications. Sugarloaf Hill, a mere 50-foot mound, became the battle's epicenter. Part of a deadly triangle with horseshoe and half-moon knolls, the complex created interlocking fields of fire. Attacking one hill meant facing devastating fire from the others. The Japanese defense featured hidden tunnels, camouflaged machine guns, and precise artillery support. George Murphy, a Notre Dame football captain who'd never met his infant daughter, Mary Grace, led the May 15th assault on Sugarloaf. When his platoon faced decimation, Murphy's withdrawal request was denied, with orders to hold at all costs. He died covering his men's retreat while helping a wounded gunner, becoming the fourth Mosquito Bowl player killed in combat. The seven-day siege to gain 520 yards cost the 6th Marine Division 2,662 casualties. Marines renamed Sugarloaf "This Piece of Shit" as they endured unimaginable horrors. On June 21, 1945, the day Okinawa was declared secure, Wisconsin football star Dave Schreiner fell to a sniper's bullet. After surviving 81 days of combat, he died just hours before the battle's end. At 24, Schreiner became the 15th Mosquito Bowl player to make the ultimate sacrifice. That night, Captain John McClowry faced one of the battle's final engagements. During a patrol, his unit encountered Japanese soldiers at point-blank range. In the ensuing firefight, a Japanese soldier shot narrowly missed McClowry before the chaos dissolved into silence, marking the end of one of the Pacific War's bloodiest battles. Tony Butkovich, a Big Ten scoring record holder and Cleveland Rams first-round draft pick, fell to a sniper on April 18, 1945. His 9-year-old pen pal's letter returned stamped USMC reports undeliverable, return to sender. Of the 65 Mosquito Bowl participants, 15 were killed in action, a death rate far exceeding the Pacific Theater's already steep casualties. Anne and Herb Schreiner received numerous letters about their son, most focusing on his character rather than football. Colonel Alan Shapley called Dave not just an All-American football player, but an All-American boy in all respects. Major General Shepard described his resting place overlooking the East China Sea, a stone Gothic chapel amid white crosses, native shrubs, and American flags. The word waste haunts us, lives lost despite unfathomable bravery. These men were alive one moment, then falling on Okinawa's jagged ground the next, dying alone regardless of who surrounded them. What made these Marines remarkable was how ordinary men rose to extraordinary circumstances. True greatness few achieve. The surviving Okinawa veterans maintained remarkable optimism and belief in America. None viewed their service as extraordinary. Many used the GI Bill to attend college, embracing their country's opportunities. We honor the following by remembering their vitality. Young men who traded football for combat, playing fields for battlefields. In a world of hollow achievements, remember the Mosquito Bowl players who gave everything when it mattered most. Their legacy lies not just in their deaths, but in lives lived with purpose, courage, and conviction that some things warrant the ultimate sacrifice.